The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. I wonder if you can remember what it felt like the last time you really helped in some meaningful way. When you really helped. I wonder if you can remember one of the first times, one of those times that you got to do big grown-up work. Something that really mattered. When you held a screwdriver or a rolling pin or a broom or a garden trowel before you really knew what to do with it, and you were a helper. And it felt so good and so special and so important. I wish it was easier to find our way back to that feeling on the hard days when work is heavy and foggy and dull instead of shiny and new. I have pictures of all of my children in the kitchen over the years, especially in these holiday weeks, wearing tiny aprons, rolling dough and stirring pots of stock and batter, so excited and so serious at the same time. And even though that sparkle fades when weeding and making dinner do not have the same allure or novelty, there are times when that feeling still comes to us. It still fills our hearts so much when we know that we are part of something that matters, or when we reach beyond our comfort to learn new work or try new ways of being in the world that bear God's kingdom. I've told a few of you the story of my first Thanksgiving turkey in the past few weeks. I still get that feeling. Doing big new work when I think about it. My housemate Stacy and I were hosting our friends for a Thanksgiving away from home. I don't know if the term friendsgiving had been coined yet way back then, but if it had, I don't think I'd learned it. But our house was the best for hosting, so we did, which then also meant that we were the ones to cook the turkey. And the only problem with that was that we were both vegetarians. Vegetarians that ate locally and sustainably sourced meat sometimes, but vegetarians with very meager meat cooking skills nonetheless. Stacy undertook the task of finding an adequately, humanely, and sustainably raised turkey with great vigor. She interviewed the vendors at the farmer's market like she was looking for the next Fulbright scholar. Until she came to a woman who was entirely unbothered by the depth of her third degree. She just smiled back and told Stacy, "Oh, honey, our turkeys have lovely lives. They sit on the porch with us in the morning while we drink our coffee. They're very happy and free. You know, this health inspector came the other day with his little clipboard, and he got so flustered. We were there on the porch having our coffee and reading the paper with the turkeys, and he just started pointing his pencil around like, 'These birds need to be in some kind of enclosure.' And I just looked at him and I said, 'Maybe you need to be in some kind of enclosure.'" And that was all it took. our turkey farmer had been found. And what's funny is, apart from the very large volume of phone calls made to our respective mothers that day, I don't really remember how the turkey turned out. I just remember how it felt important to be in charge of it. And I remember the warmth and friendship of that evening. I suppose I would remember if it was a complete disaster, so it must have at least been okay. Every great thing, big or small, that we can say we've had a hand in is a gift, a chance to be a part of work that matters. And I say all this, which I imagine you might be wondering what it has to do with the Gospel of Matthew, because I actually think that is part of what Jesus is offering us today in this strange teaching about the return of the Son of Humanity. In Matthew's Gospel, we hear this illustration of how his return will be so unexpected that it makes you wonder why we put any number of candles on the wreath, 4 or 7 or anything, because we just won't know. Jesus compares it to the time of the great flood. And in the verses that come after the ones we've just heard, he will compare the return of the Son to faithful and unfaithful slaves, to watchful and unwatchful bridesmaids, to slaves given talents to care for in their master's absence. And in today's teaching, and in a way in the parables that follow it, when the anticipated one arrives, some are taken and some are left behind. So one pretty basic question we could ask ourselves is, are we supposed to want to be taken or left? Right? Which one is the good one? I mean, Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey and their ilk have pretty deeply ingrained in us that image of being whisked up to heaven, raptured away from the troubles of the earth. But listen again how Jesus puts it. It will be like in the time of Noah. Some will be taken and others left. There will be people working in the field, some grinding meal, one taken and the other left. But who should we want to be? Well, if you take the three examples in part, Noah, obviously. That one's a gimme. But what about the ones in the field, the ones grinding grain? In the cases of the slaves and the bridesmaids later, the ones who are left are the ones who stay close to the master and the bridegroom, the ones who don't disappear into the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do we want to be taken or left? Well, in this telling, at least, if we want to be part of the kingdom where the Son will rule and on his return, then we actually want to be left behind, not taken away or swept away like the ones in the flood. This future is not one where the chosen ones are whisked off to eternal leisure and comfort. Here, the ones who are chosen get to remain with the Son, be part of building the kingdom of God. We get to be part of important work. Work that fills us with joy and purpose, like a kid with a screwdriver or a rolling pin or a goofy 20-something vegetarian trying to cook a turkey. God tends to hang out with the ones left behind, doing the work, looking for the next right thing. And in all of this, we are reminded that the return of God will never be something we predict or know in advance. So, what do we do in the meantime, waiting and hoping to be the ones left to do the kingdom work? Because apparently God does not send an RSVP ahead of the party, so much so that Jesus compares himself to a thief that comes in the night. Well, how do you prepare for a thief? Not by knowing when they are coming, but by assuming that they might come at any moment, right? That's the whole premise on which we buy fancy locks and cameras and security systems. We have 24/7 monitoring. It could be any moment. There's a great scene in the Netflix show Grace and Frankie after the two friends have had a home break-in, and Frankie has exactly the impossible reaction that Jesus seems to be telling us to have, actually, trying to feel safe and prepared for future dangers. The two are at a community safety class, The police officer leading a session about how to be safer, protect yourself, says, "The key is to make it look like someone is always at home." And Frankie starts muttering as he continues, "Always home, never leaving. Got it." A burglar is 90% less likely to enter a home if they think that someone is awake. We've got to be awake constantly. And then he goes on to explain how to create the illusion that someone is at home and awake, which Frankie concedes makes more sense than actually never leaving or sleeping. Obviously, we can't just sit up and keep watch without sleeping or carrying on with our lives. So the question is, what are we to do? If the sun will return like a thief in the night, how can we prepare for the time when we will come that we cannot know, when we hope to be left behind with him to do the work of God? Well, I think maybe the Apostle Paul can help us there. What do we do to be ready for the work of the Son when he returns, whenever that will be? Well, we love. And then we love some more. Paul is so insistent on this in his letter to the Romans, his most organized theological treatise, in fact, that just before the verses that we heard read a few moments ago, when he describes the greatest commandment that we so often remember as, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul just skips right to the end. He goes right to the love your neighbor part. When we don't know what to do, we love our neighbor. When we don't know when Jesus will show up, we love our neighbor. When things are really bad, we love our neighbor. When things are really good, you know what we do? We love our neighbor. When we want to be helpers in big, important work that will wake us from complacency and connect us to joy, we love our neighbor. When you don't know how to prepare for Christ to come, love your neighbor. When you live in a world full of swords that desperately needs more plowshares, love your neighbor. When you don't know how to love God, love your neighbor, because you will find that when you do, you are loving God too. When we don't know what is coming next, which is always, we can still be part of big, important work because we can love. We can love from that deep well of love that is first given to us by the one who made us. And we will find that the Son who we wait for is also always here, claiming us in this present mess for his purposes and plans, because we are his beloved ones. And we get to be his helpers. What joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.